Yesterday, Sharaji explained what Buddha had answered. And it is said that Jidame Babaka Dhamma Dasamaha Upaka Jino, meaning that because I have totally eradicated all the unwholesomeness that were inferior, that's why I am called Jina, the one who has victory or the one who has conquered. By overcoming internal enmity totally, one will be a true winner, one will have a true victory on oneself. And one fulfills the three trainings, and also one overcomes gross, medium, and refined form of defilements that are inferior. By practicing Majjhima Patipada, the middle way, the middle path, one can eradicate gross, medium, and refined form of defilements so that there will not be any remainder left. And kilesa defilements cannot arise at all. So by practicing Majjhima Patipada, the middle path, the unwholesomeness that has lobha, greed as chief, cannot arise. The unwholesomeness that has dosa, anger as chief, cannot arise. Unwholesomeness that has moha, delusion as chief, cannot arise. In this way, one removes, one overcomes misconduct, one has victory on these defilements with the Dhamma. And Buddha was called Jina. In order to be called Jina, the one who has victory, there are five things to be conquered. And among these five things, Kilesa Mara, defilement killer, is the one which is most important. Kilesa defilements make the person exhausted, polluted, burned, and suffering. And these defilements pollute the person in body, speech, and mind. Sharaji gives an example. If fire breaks out, then the fire burns the fuel so that the fuel is left dirty and dark, and it also leaves ashes which are useless. In the same way, kilesa defilements make the person polluted, dirty, exhausted. And 100% of the sufferings encountered by the beings are rooted in kilesa defilements. In Pali, it is said, sakala mitan dukkan satana kilesa mulakan, meaning that 100% of the sufferings of the beings are rooted in kilesa defilements. All the sufferings are rooted in defilements. Having these defilements, one's suffering will never come to an end. When these defilements, such as raga, dosa, moha, lust, aversion, and delusion takes place, one will be committing misconduct by body, speech, and mind, and these misconduct by body, speech, and mind is the cause of sufferings. Indulging in these defilements, one commits misconduct, and it is suffering for the person. And the person is full of suffering, and the person becomes degraded and inferior. Kilesa namete pavati dukkha. At the moment of arising of these defilements make the person exhausted, polluted, and make the person suffer. At the moment, the defilements are arising. Ayatencha dukkha hetu buddha. These defilements are also the cause of suffering in the future as well. When one indulges in these defilements, one cannot gain victory on them. One commits transgressions, committing misconduct by body, speech, and mind. That's why Buddha said that 100% of the sufferings are caused by defilements. So long as one cannot remove the defilements, one's suffering will not come to an end. If one can remove defilements, just a little amount of defilements, then the sufferings will be removed, the sufferings will be reduced to a small amount. If the person can remove defilements, a bigger amount, then the sufferings will become reduced to a bigger amount. And if one can remove the defilements completely, totally, then the sufferings will come to an end totally, and there will only be peace and happiness. So one should refrain and avoid from gross defilements by practicing sila, morality. One should practice sila, samadhi, panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom in order to overcome defilements. Gross kind of defilements can be overcome by practicing sila, morality. Medium defilements, transgressive defilements that can arise in the mind should be prevented and cured by practicing samadhi, concentration. Latent and dormant form of defilements should be suppressed by developing vipassana jnana, insight knowledge, and they can be totally uprooted when one gains riya magga jnana, path knowledge. By removing these defilements, by attaining path knowledge, one has true victory on oneself. If one cannot have victory on these defilements can be called mara. Mara means killer. Kilesa defilements can kill the person who is not free from defilements. So kilesa defilements are called mara, the killer. The killer in person, it is frightening to meet the killer in person, but kilesa killer, the defilement killer, is more frightening than the killer, person killer. People who do not remove kilesa defilements will suffer, and also the person is said to be killed by mara, the killer, which are the defilements. So that's why the defilements are said to be killing the person. Even though the person does not die, but the person's reputations and the virtues will die due to the defilements. That's why the defilements are called killer, because it can kill the reputation and the virtues of the person. Indulging in these defilements, raga, dosa, moha, people commit transgressions. Committing transgressions, the person's reputation and virtue will die. So that's why it is said that kilesa defilements are killing the person. Kilesa defilements are killing the person's reputation and virtues. Buddha had gained victory on the worst enemy, which are the defilements. So the Buddha that we are devoted to was endowed with the quality, the virtue of having victory on these defilements. So in order to be worthy of devoting to the Buddha, we need to practice. Reading scriptures alone, it is not enough. Listening to the Dhamma talks alone, it is not enough. Paying respect to temples, pagodas, it is not enough. By reciting the scriptures alone is not enough. We all need to practice the teachings of the Buddha so that we can gain victory on these defilements. By practicing Sila, Samadhi, Panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom, one can have victory on these defilements. So Saraji says, nowadays, most of the people are wasting their time with imaginations and thoughts. They are wasting their time by just reading scriptures, or some of them, they beat the gong in their prayers. Some of the people, they are wasting their time just by reciting. These does not have anything to do with practice. So one needs to practice Satipatthana meditation so as to gain victory on these defilements. When one is reciting the virtues of the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, they are performing wholesome deed. Their mind may be calmed, but they are not developing knowledge. In order to develop knowledge, one needs to practice Satipatthana meditation. One should practice Satipatthana meditation so that one will develop sadha, faith and confidence, and one will also develop knowledge, such as knowledge into mind and matter and so on. And when one's knowledge becomes matured, one will finally realize the Nibbana. By realizing the Nibbana, one realizes the Dhamma. By realizing the Dhamma, one really sees the Buddha. Even though one does not meet the Buddha in person, but one is said to see the Buddha by realizing the Dhamma. Saraji wanted all of you to know this point. That's why Saraji has been explaining this in detail. Buddha practiced himself, and Buddha taught from what Buddha had known through practice. So what the Buddha taught is not imaginary. Buddha was not teaching from imaginations, but Buddha was teaching from his experience of practice. So just as Buddha gained benefit, Buddha taught the practice that Buddha himself had found. Buddha is called Karaka because Buddha was a practical person who really practiced. And the benefits that he gained, from the benefits he gained, from the practice he practiced, Buddha taught. And by practicing according to the teaching of the Buddha, one will gain outstanding benefits. It is said that Karaka seva hi katha visesato adepe dasa sadini, meaning that the teaching of the Buddha who really practiced practically, only his teachings can bring outstanding benefits. The benefits that will be outstanding and complete. So what the Buddha taught is not from his imagination. It is what Buddha himself had gained through practice. And Buddha taught in a very brave, encouraging way that by practicing this method, beings can also gain such benefits. So Buddha taught in such a way that the practice and the benefits are in compliance. That's why one of the quality of the Buddha is Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo, meaning that the teaching of the Buddha are in a way that the practice and the benefits are in accordance. By following the teachings of the Buddha practically, then one will gain benefit. That's why Buddha taught in the way that the practice and the benefit of practice are in accordance. By practicing sila, morality, one refrains from misconduct by body and speech. By keeping the precepts, by practicing sila, one's body and speech will be pure, clean, gentle, and peaceful. Practicing sila by oneself, one will know the benefit of gaining pure, clean, gentle body and speech. So in this way, the practice and the benefit are in accordance. That's why Buddha was called Svakata, because Buddha gave teaching in such a way that the practice and the benefit are in accordance. If one does not control one's mind with mindfulness, then the mind will be stray, going here and there. There may be wrongful thoughts, wanting to kill others, wanting to torment others, or wanting to take other people's belonging by force. Such kind of wrongful thoughts cannot be avoided or prevented by practicing sila. So in order to prevent these wrongful thoughts that can arise in the mind, one needs to be mindful. One needs to guard and protect the mind by mindfulness. One needs to be mindful on presently arising object. When there is mindfulness, one will not have laziness. One will not be sluggish and cold. Having mindfulness present, the mind is guarded, protected away from defilements. That's why sati can also be called rekha varana goti. Mindfulness guards, protects, and blocks the defilements so that there will be security in the mind away from the defilements. So when mindfulness is present, kilesa defilements cannot arise. So that's why it is said the practice and the benefits are in accordance. When the yogi notes the object with sustained mindfulness, the mind falls calm and collected on the object. When the mind is calm and collected on the object, there will be kanika samadhi, momentary concentration. When there is kanika samadhi, momentary concentration, there will not be udaccha, restlessness. The mind will not be distracted or scattered, but the mind will be calm and collected. When the mind is calm and collected, there will be no agitation due to raga, dosa, or moha. So by practicing samadhi, concentration, these defilements has no chance to arise. The mind is calm, collected away from the agitation by these defilements. So by practicing sila, morality, one's body and speech will be pure, clean, gentle, and cultured. By being mindful on presently arising object, practicing diligently, kilesa defilements has no chance to arise. When there is concentration, priyutana kilesa, obsessive defilements that can arise in the mind, have no chance to arise when there is samadhi, concentration. So when there is virya, sati, and samadhi, effort, mindfulness, and concentration, priyutana kilesa, transgressive defilements are removed. Practicing samadhi training, one is removing transgressive defilements. So that's why it is said that practice and the benefits are in accordance. Yogis who are practicing, they are practicing according to the teachings of the Buddha. It is very encouraging that they are practicing the teachings of the Buddha. And by practicing the teachings of the Buddha, one gains knowledge. By gaining knowledge, latent or dormant form of defilements are removed momentarily. And finally, when one attains Riya Magga Jnana, path knowledge, one can totally remove latent or dormant form of defilements. That's why it is said that by practicing the three trainings, one gain benefits in accordance. Dhamma kamo bhavan hoti, meaning that the one who cherishes the knowledge and the practice will prosper and make progress. So if one does not know the method, if one does not practice, then the person will be inferior with the arising of these defilements. So Buddha had given way in order to purify the body, speech. By practicing sila and samadhi, by practicing morality and concentration, one's mind will be pure. By practicing diligently every single second, one's mind will not be polluted with raga, dosa, moha, lust, aversion, and delusion. And thus, the mind is pure. It is a progress when the mind is pure. So one should be practicing bhavana so that one will be initiating, developing, cultivating wholesome mind, so that the wholesome mind will become from small to big, from tender to ripe, from less to many. So that's why it is said, Atano Sandhane Puna Punan Janeti. One needs to initiate, develop, cultivate the mind so that Viriya Sati Samadhi, effort, mindfulness, and concentration will become developed, cultivated, and increased. In order to practice, in order to develop the mind, one should be practicing continuously apart from sleeping hours. One should be mindful continuously on the objects such as rising and falling of the abdomen. One should note these objects without failing, without missing, so that the mind will be calm and collected. By practicing this way, one is fulfilling Samadhi Khanda, the concentration group. Being able to practice, one possesses Samadhi Khanda, the concentration group. If one fails to note one moment, then one is losing for one moment. If one fails to note for 1 minute, then the person is losing for 60 moments. If one is unmindful for 5 minutes, there will be 300 moments of losing. If one is not mindful for 1 hour, there will be 3,600 moments of losing. That's why one should be practicing diligently, respectfully, meticulously, so as to develop one's mind. Failing to be mindful, one will be losing. If one is mindful, if one is able to note, then one is gaining, one is progressing. By practicing continuously, diligently, one will experience the Dhamma taste, the Dhamma pleasure. The quality of the Dhamma is Swakata. If you practice accordingly, then you will gain benefit accordingly. So one should maintain one's Dhamma so that one's practice will not deteriorate. And also, one should practice diligently so that one's practice will gain momentum and will become stronger and stronger. So one should take further step in order to make progress in the practice. That's why Buddha had taught to practice respectfully, meticulously, without stopping, without resting, without gazing, or without thinking. And one should protect one's practice so that it will be maintained. And one should practice diligently respectfully so that one will also attain the Dhamma that one has not gained. For the yogis who practice diligently, respectfully, meticulously, there is a guarantee that these yogis will make progress within a few days. So in the text, the virtue of the Dhamma, Swakata, was explained in many ways. And the yogis' practice are in accordance with the Dhamma. Swakata is the Dhamma which has the quality Adi Kalayana, good in the beginning, Majje Kalayana, good in the middle, and Priyosana Kalayana, good in the end. So the Dhamma is good in the beginning, good in the middle, and good in the end. And it is called Swakata. When one listens to the Dhamma, just by listening to the Dhamma, at the moment of listening to the Dhamma, one is away from Nivrana hindrances. To those who are listening to the Dhamma attentively with the aim and objective of struggling, removing the Nivaranas, hindrances, which are Kilesa, killer, the defilements which are compared to killer. So if one has this good aim and intention, good aim and objective in listening to the Dhamma, this listening of the Dhamma can remove Nivarana hindrances. The person will be away from these hindrances when the person listens to the Dhamma attentively. So this Dhamma is not ordinary Dhamma. It is called Sadhamma. If one practices accordingly, one's body, speech, and mind will be purified. By listening to the Dhamma and by practicing accordingly, one will be free. One can be free from suffering. So if one listens attentively, at the moment of listening attentively, there will not be kamechanda, sensual desire, wanting to see good things, and so on. There will not be anger, aversion, hatred. If one is listening diligently, there will not be laziness. And when one is paying attention on the discourse, the mind will not be distracted or scattered. When one listens to the Dhamma with faith and confidence, vijikicca, skeptical doubt, cannot arise. So in this way, if one is listening to the Dhamma attentively with good aim and objective, at the moment of listening, Nivrana, hindrances, cannot arise at that moment. So that's why it is said that Dhamma is good in the beginning, Adi Kalayana, because one will be free from the hindrances at the moment one is listening to the Dhamma talk, listening to the Dhamma attentively with good aim and objective. And by practicing, by listening to the Dhamma, one will awaken Sadha. If one cultivates the awakened Sadha with practice by the guidance of a Kalyana Mitta, true companion, then as much one practices the Dhamma, as much one will gain peace. When one attains Udiyabhaya Jnana, then one develops both the mind and the knowledge amazingly. At the stage of Uddiyabhaya Jnana, one's mind and one's knowledge will be developed, it will be strong amazingly. That's why it is said, Dhamma has the Miche Kalyana, Dhamma is good in the middle. If one practices accordingly, one can develop both the mind and the knowledge. Practicing further, when Vipassana Jnana becomes matured, finally, one realizes cessation. And by realizing cessation, one gains very outstanding benefit. Realizing Nibbana, realizing the true cessation, one totally removes wrong views. So wrong views can no longer arise at all when one has realized cessation. So when one has realized cessation, the person can keep one's mind balanced in equilibrium state. Even though the person comes across desirable objects, good conditions, one's mind will not be elated. Even though the person comes across discouraging circumstances, the person will not be discouraged. In this way, the person gains stamina, able to withstand ups and downs of life, able to withstand the worldly condition when one had already attained Nibbana. In this way, the person can live in equanimity, in equilibrium state. The person can keep the mind in balance, even though one may be coming across good and bad conditions. In this way, one gains the quality of keeping one's mind in balanced state if one has realized the cessation. That's why it is said that Dhamma is Priyosana Kalyana, Dhamma is good in the end. So the Dhamma being good in the beginning, meaning that even by listening attentively, the Dhamma, one can remove, one can be free from hindrances momentarily. And by practicing, when the mind is calm and collected, one gains the Dhamma pleasure, Dhamma taste by developing Vipassana knowledge. And it is said that Dhamma is good in the middle. By practicing completely until one realizes Nibbana cessation, by realizing Nibbana cessation, one gains maturity, one has stamina in order to withstand good and bad conditions, good and bad circumstances in life. And that's why it is said, the Dhamma is good in the end. So by practicing completely to the end, the person will gain the ability to withstand the worldly conditions, the Loka Dhamma. So by practicing the Dhamma, according to the teaching, one will understand the quality, swakata, through one's practice. And through one's practice, one automatically understands the Dhamma. By realizing the Dhamma, one is also said to be seeing the Buddha. And Saraji will continue to explain tomorrow. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.